I do not think.
So what are you getting at?
I'm live.
Even listen to yourself when you talk.
Hey, we're live! Woohoo! Turn off your radio before it's too late!
Hated it.
I told you this was a bad idea.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Belichick went bananas, and they all went bananas because they never expected to get the first down. I think they had every intention to just...
concede.
Yep. Absolutely. Tick, tick, tick. Burn the timeout. We'll take our chances with you having Blake Bortles having to go 85 or 90. Good luck. And then they picked it up and they were stunned because they didn't think they were going
to
get it.
Okay, we continue with your reaction to yesterday. I know a lot of you want to look ahead to the Eagles, and we will and we can. But there's a lot to pick apart from yesterday's games. That's what we're trying to do. Here's Mike in Danvers. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good show. just a couple points I want to make, Mike. First of all, I got to tell you, Bedard is a genius. That he knows his stuff, and he proves it time and time again. On your previous show, you made a comment to Bedard. You said, well, what happens if Jacksonville scores 20 points? And Bedard immediately said to you, the Patriots are going to get 24, so it doesn't matter. And he was right on, and he should be credited for that. So that's one thing I want to say. The second thing, the first four games of the season, the Patriots allow teams to score over 20 points. For the next 12 games, only two teams scored over 20 points the whole season. So I think we have to give Belichick some credit for improving the defense, and I personally think he should have some consideration for Coach of the Year. So
okay.
Like you guys talk about that.
So, I mean, let's not separate our shoulders, patting Bedard on the back. Like me, like Maz, like a lot of people, he totally dismissed the Jaguars. So I wouldn't say that he totally nailed it. In terms of the point total, he did bring up the good point. The lowest point total the Pats had all year was 19 points. Was Jacksonville, no matter how well they played, going to keep them under 19? And it turns out you can't. And if you want to spin it four and I'm Philly, I've always thought that the line of demarcation is 30. If you're an opponent, you better get your ass to 30. If Seattle got to 30, they would have won. If Atlanta got to 30, they would have won. If Pittsburgh, I think last month, they got into 30, they would have won. 30. You got to try and get Nick Foles and that team to 30. That's how I would approach it if I were the Eagles.
See, to me, I think the number is you got to keep the Patriots at 24. I think, you know, that's your shot. If they start getting up there, forget it. You're not going to beat them because they're not going to give up that many. They're just, you know, they play too disciplined to give up 40 points in a big game. They're not going to do it. But if you can keep them, I think teams can keep them to 24. And certainly after Gronk goes out. Like, so the Philly thing intrigues me. I mean, it on paper, it looks like a good matchup. I just, you know, if they had Wentz, honestly, I think the Eagles would win. With Foles, I don't know.
Here's Matthew in Framingham. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Felger, Maz, what happened to that blowout? No, but seriously, you know, it happened the way I thought it would. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they had an efficient run game. I was a little bit surprised that we also kind of played conservative, but then it came down to the end. The ball was in Brady's hands. He did got the job done. And when the ball was in Bortles' hands, Gilmore, in one singular play, earned that money. And can I just say one more thing?
Please.
You guys know that in all 10 playoff games this year, 9 out of 10 underdogs have covered the spread outside of that Patriots-Titans game. And you know, and that kind of actually supports something that I'm coming up with to develop and take on Nick Foles. But I'll save it for another day. Sounds like you want to wait on the Eagles.
Okay, baby. Yeah, give me all your Eagles stuff going forward here the next couple weeks. The 9 out of 10 underdogs. Interesting. Vegas has had a good postseason. The 9 out of 10 number that stood out to me today that has been kicking around is that the number one seed in each conference, 9 out of the last 10 Super Bowl teams have been number one seeds.
Right.
9 out of 10.
The only one that failed was the Cowboys last year.
Okay. And if you want to take that one step further, there has not been a team in the Super Bowl that has played a road playoff game since 2012, when both the Ravens and Niners played road playoff games. Now, last year, Atlanta was the 2 seed, but they never went on the road because Dallas lost. So that's the 13, 14, 15, 16. So we're going on 5 straight years. Over 5. 5. Where it's all chalk. It's chalk. This is another thing about the Patriots. They don't take weeks off. They don't take weeks off. So
except in 2015.
And the one time they got casual about home field advantage, they lost. the one time they got casual about it, at the end of that 15 season, where they screwed around in Miami and screwed around with Philadelphia and screwed around in overtime against the Jets, it cost them. They had to travel to Denver and they lost. And I'm pretty sure they learned their lesson on that one. Home field's so important. But this is another reason that just plays to the Patriots' advantage. Being one of those bye teams is just such an epic advantage of not having to play on wild card weekend, not having to travel in a divisional round, winning one game when you're in the conference final, and you know, just it's just such a huge advantage. The number of teams that just slap it out there in the regular season, like the perfect example is the Packers, team that I follow. They just we'll flip the switch and we'll flip the switch at the end of the year and go on a run in the playoffs and get there, and they did it once. But this is why they're on the road in the conference championship game all the time. Because they don't have the discipline to keep it together for 16 games in the regular season. The discipline or the effort or the ethic to carve out home field.
See, and to me, that's Belichick.
Of course it is.
That's Belichick.
That's the program.
Like the fourth quarter yesterday, on the offensive side is Brady.
You know, if that's at Denver yesterday, you probably lose that game.
Right.
If that's at Jacksonville, I don't know. Maybe, Bortles is still Bortles, but it's a whole different deal. So, like, you get to the Super Bowl by winning those games in the regular season, and it blows me away the number of teams that are just so either cavalier about it or just can't do it. Just can't do it. Just can't keep their composure for 16 weeks or what it takes to win the games. They should just simply just win the games you should win, you know, for the good teams in the league. And no one can do it other than you. No one.
Just quickly, the caller said, you know, Matt in Framingham said that the running game for the Jags in the first half was the passing game.
No question.
13 of 15.
Anyone who wants to send, shove Lawrence Fournette up my backside?
Leonard.
Do you think he was a big part of the game yesterday, Murray?
In the first half, I thought he was, yeah. Yeah, the way he was able to pick up yards with ease up the middle. Yes.
I thought his touchdown was a statement. I thought it was he shoved on that.
Roberts.
Okay, that was dangling his jock in on your forehead, and that was a statement. Other than that, sorry. Could have been any running back.
It wasn't a dominant performance, and yeah, it probably could have been any running back. It was about the way that they attacked the linebackers in the passing game and attacking the edges.
You said it. Throwing to those guys. Jacksonville made a mistake by not continuing to throw to 30.
Grant.
What happened to that?
I know the Patriots couldn't cover him. They couldn't cover him. And again, I added it up a minute ago. I think the running backs for Jacksonville had something like 38 touches in this game. The game plan was to attack the linebacking core, which was smart.
But then they get to the fourth quarter, and we're going to win on the ground. How'd that work out for you, bozos?
I was ready to come in here today and say, I told you missing Dante Hightower was gonna cost this team, because edges, crossing routes. It's like, Jesus, oh my God, they miss Hightower, and they still found a way to win.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. No one says it like they do,
So my question to the people of Boston is, what, are you nuts?
Felger and Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a great football game. Really, as I said out there, really proud of our players. Did a great job. We didn't really do things as well as we'd like to have done them at times in the game, but they battled. They kept competing. You know, in the end, we made enough plays in all three phases of the game. So a lot of guys stepped up, and that's a good football team. Coach Marone, his staff, Jacksonville, that's a really good team. I can be proud of the way our guys played, competed, fought, and in the end executed, made the plays that we had to make to win. So we're happy to be moving on.
So I think that ticky-tack PI call right after the Gronkowski hit was actually a makeup call. I think they missed a second personal, dead ball personal foul that could have been enforced. I think Church got up, was taunting Gronkowski. He actually ran back at him, tripped, fell, and kneed him in the head again. Huh. After the play, and I think that the Patriots players and coaches might have said something, and that was a makeup call. I think that was also thrown by Tony Sterator, who Carlton in Tampa said was going to throw a flag for the Pats.
Okay, so if it was a makeup call, that makes sense, because I thought that first PI, and I did it in real time. It's just what I went back and looked at it. The first PI in the second quarter, huge play, I thought was really ticky-tack, given how they were calling that game, which was, they weren't throwing a lot of flags out there. They were letting them play in the secondary. And I thought that one was on Bouye, right?
Bouye, yep.
I think he just angled him onto the sidelines.
He did. He put his hands up. That's why that's why I thought they made the right call. He grabbed him. If he didn't grab him, it would have been fine.
Did he actually grab his jersey?
Yeah, I thought he had both hands up on him. I'll go back and look.
I don't think so.
I thought
he did. You might be confusing with the second one. The second one was on Jalen Ramsey, where he clotheslined Cooks.
No, that was bad.
They had to throw that one.
Yeah, he wrapped his hand around his neck.
Right.
No, that one I remember. Bouye on the sideline grabbed him. I'll double check it. Maybe it was earlier, like a two steps before the ball got there, but he had his hands up and grabbed them. And I thought that's why. I said, well, he put his hands up. They're going to call it. He grabbed them like that. So, but, you know, otherwise, he did. He totally forced him out.
Did you think the fumble was a fumble? Did you think he trapped it against his leg and had possession when his knee hit? Because if you, I was listening to Zoe on the radio at the time. He was so sure that that was the Patriots' ball. Like, they were so dismissive of Bleakman's, like, all right, Bleakman's going to give the Patriots the ball back here, and he's going to be first and 10 at the blah, blah, blah. And then, and, you know, it's like, and if you're listening on the radio, it's like, well, obviously the Pats can get the ball back. And it just, what I don't know. What'd you think?
No, I felt like there wasn't enough there to overturn it.
Yeah, the ball looked like it started to come out.
Oh, no, the ball was out. Yeah. Did he regain possession and pin it to his leg with the knee on the ground? See, I think he might have. Like, yeah. I think the Pats could have kept that ball.
But I don't, to me, there's not enough evidence there that that is regaining possession. Like, who holds the ball like that? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, to me, that was an indication that he didn't fully have control of the ball. The fact that it was sort of pinned against his leg.
Boy, there was a lot going on that play. I mean, never mind the double pass and how freaking risky that was. Those were two passes clear across the width of the field. And, I mean, they were both good balls, but that throwback to Lewis, like, that was up there for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there's that. Then, if you watch it, if it is a fumble, Miles Jack recovers it and is never contacted by Lewis or anyone else after he gains possession and starts going down the sidelines. And again, Pro Football Talk wrote about it, and if you go look at it, it really should have been, if that's a fumble, and I guess you think it was, then that really should have been six the other way. They shouldn't have blown the whistle. He was not down by contact, and he was off to the races. He was in the end zone there if they don't blow the whistle. And so
that never even occurred to me until I got here today.
I think on balance, if you're going back and look at it, I mean, yeah, he never touched him. I think on balance, the officiating was good to you. That's how I would say it. I don't think it won you the game. I think you were going to make the plays at the end, and they weren't, and you were going to win no matter what. But I would not complain about the officiating today if I were the Patriots. Never mind just the raw numbers. I think it was 9-1. I think they had 9 calls against them, 6 accepted, to 1 against you. So never mind just the raw numbers. I think even the delay of game, I've seen refs let that go. I mean, it was clearly late. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It was
they
late.
Usually give you one beat after it.
They
right?
give you a beat. Well, what the ref does is he watches the clock. I'm sorry, he watches you, then the clock. Or there's some sort of mechanism where you get a half second to a second because his eyes go from the clock to you, and so in that time that his eyes go from one to the other, you've got time to. That's usually what they say, and so he was clearly late, clearly. But I've also seen refs let that go. So, but I mean, that doesn't take away from just the abject stupidity of getting a delay of game call coming out of a timeout. Should not even be close. It's a stop clock. You don't need to bleed clock there. Why are you even tempting fate or allowing the ref to get in there when you're coming out of a timeout? That was the key play of the game in my mind. Because they have, and again, if you just, we discussed it earlier, but there's 2:23 left on the clock. Jacksonville up 14-3. They get the ball to start the third quarter. They convert a 3rd and 7. It would have been down to your 32-yard line. They have the ability there to at least just kill the clock and go into the tunnel 14-3, but at worst probably kick a field goal. So now they're up 17-3, and they get the ball to start the third quarter. Instead, delay a game kills the 3rd and 7 conversion. They punt it away. You get on pretty much successive plays, the Gronkowski personal foul, the pass interference, you score. And instead of 17-3 at the half or 24-3 at the half, it's 14-10. And that was a massive swing in the entire game, and it all started with Jacksonville not being ready to go coming out of that timeout. Huge, huge sequence. The sequence in the game, I think.
I was just checking quickly to see whether that 5 yards also took him out of field goal range, but they were already out of field goal range.
I think
range
it started on
point.
The 44 yeah. is where yeah. the ball was. Evan and Woburn, what do you got, Evan?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. Just wanted to get your input on something. The Eagles and Patriots have matched up 13 times, and the Eagles have a 7-6 lead. Do you think that'll impact the Super Bowl?
You mean 7-6 all time?
Yes.
So we're like going back to 1976?
Yeah, we're going back.
Okay, and I bet the Pats would have won that game in 76, but you know what I mean.
No.
Zero.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Zero. 0.000. Eddie in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Quick question on the Gilmore pass defense. part of me just kind of marveled at how long he hung in the air. But then the other part of it is the guy was like a step and a half behind him, and Bortles threw a frozen rope, whereas if he had just put any air under the ball, you know, the outcome certainly might have been different. Just kind of interested in your take on it.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Gilmore on that play. It was a good play.
No, but I think he's right. If the ball had had more air under it, he might have dropped it in there. So was it a, you know, was it a bad throw? No. Was it a great throw? No. So, but look.
It was also 4th and 14, I think.
Yeah. And overall, I mean, other than the one play on the sideline, which happened a couple of plays before it, if you remember, Gilmore gave up a possession there.
Yeah, or a long throw, yeah.
Yes, a reception there. And in fact, then I thought, oh my God, just at least tackle him now. It felt to me, I was unsure about his ability to tackle him there after the reception. But other than that, he was good. He was good in the, he's been good since that Pittsburgh game. Where he sucked in that Pittsburgh game, if you remember. And since that time, he's been good.
Dan and Quincy, what do you think, Danny?
Well, it's ironic that you opened the show up saying that it was a team win. And my last call to you last week was invoking that football is a team sport. And you laughed me off the air when I said it. So it basically came to fruition that it is the ultimate team sport. So you guys are putting up the quarterbacks, like comparing them to pitchers in baseball.
Well, but sometimes it is about the quarterback, Danny.
Well, I'm not saying
a lot of times it is. A lot of times it is.
And we didn't laugh you off the air,
did
we?
I did. I laughed at you constantly.
Yeah, you did. Okay, so, and the other thing is, you know, I feel like the Patriots' defense have to be so good on first and second down, so they set up a third and long, because on third down, at times in a game, they suck. They suck. And Tony. And so if they got some stops early in the game, maybe it wouldn't come down to a fourth quarter, having to put up a brick wall in the fourth quarter, or having to, you know, get a 3rd and 18 in the fourth quarter. I don't know where your heart is, Jim Murray, but mine's still on the floor, and I'm looking for it, okay? This is, I mean, it was amazing. I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, that's why they were 29th in yards allowed and 5th in
points.
In points. But, and the reason why, and they, I don't believe they had a turn. I don't believe this defense has caused a turnover in 6 straight games, if I'm not mistaken. You can look that one up. Hmm. But I also told you that turnovers dry up.
When you say 6 straight, when was the Pittsburgh interception in the end zone? That was a pretty big one.
All right. I could be wrong. I said I didn't look at the stats. So, but their turnovers seemed to be drying up. And the turnovers they got before the dry up was the other team was giving the ball away. So my point is that teams are still allowed to come down the field. And I would just like for once, if you get a couple of 3-and-outs early in the game, it won't be that close at the end.
Okay, so let me just, are you more concerned or less concerned about the defense after yesterday? You feel good or bad about it?
Bad.
I feel the same way I've felt about them all year.
Which is bad.
I think that they're extremely flawed, and those flaws were taken advantage of yesterday. Edges, crossing routes, outside of Stephon Gilmore and Trey Flowers, I thought most of them sucked. Especially in the secondary. Pat Chung was garbage for most of the game. I thought Malcolm Butler was Malcolm Butler as he was all year, which is not good. Really, it was Gilmore, Trey Flowers. The rest,
I just think...
As much as I hate to admit it, 92 showed up in that game.
Oh, Harrison.
James Harrison.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
he did.
That's right. He did. He absolutely did.
Piece of garbage.
I just think...
played a good game, though.
He did.
I just think Jacksonville's easy to defend. And they had trouble. Like, I look at the Jags and say... stop the run. Put the ball in the quarterback's hands. And first of all, so some of it was the scheme early that they...
So you think if Jacksonville did that, the Eagles should be able to do more?
Yes, the Eagles have 2 wide receivers. They have a tight end. They can throw to a couple of their backs. It's a complete offensive team. And again, that is with the asterisk of which Nick Foles shows up. But Gilmore and Butler are going to get challenged a hell of a lot more in the next game than they were in this one.
Legarry.
With Jeffrey and Aguilar... and then Bedard's buddy, Zach Ertz, on Pat Chung. Like, and then the rookie running back there, Clement or Clemens or whatever it is, 38
I just
for the
know
Eagles.
Blunt and Jay Ajayi are fumbles waiting to happen.
Okay, forget Blunt. But they'll throw to Ajayi, too. Like, they'll throw to all those guys except Blunt.
Felger and Maz.
This is Felger.
The man is beholden to no one.
And Maz.
I don't really know what to expect.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
4th and 15 from New England's 43. Trips to the wide side left. 1 to the right. Low snap to Bortles. Backs Harrison. Up. Pressured by Harrison. Bortles runs up and throws deep downfield. And the throw is knocked away by Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore leaving his feet. Reaching out with his right hand. And swatting down a pass intended for D.D. Westbrook.
Play the game.
Still 3 timeouts left for Jacksonville with 1:47 to go.
When you make $60 million, that's the type of plays that you make in AFC Championship games.
That's why we pay you that money. Finally, you earn your money. Finally, you feel good about that money. If he makes a play in the AFC title game to win you a game, makes a play in the Super Bowl to win you a game, he's worth the money. I don't care what he did during the regular season.
No question. Now, look, I happen to think that the Super Bowl will be a much bigger challenge. He should get Jeffrey.
Absolutely.
I mean, it'll be him on Alshon Jeffrey. That's a good matchup. And if you are who you are alleged to be, you should be able to keep him in check. I didn't say shut him down completely, because that guy's good.
So do you worry about, I'm sorry to cut you off, but do you worry about him being a liability like he was in the first couple of months?
I was going to ask you.
Yep.
How do you feel about, what's your confidence level and Stephon Gilmore going into this game?
Better, but still not great. Like, I feel way better about him than I did at the beginning of the year. But, you know, it's one thing to shut down some of these bums with Blake Bortles at quarterback. And again, to me, the wild card's Foles. But Jeffrey's a big, good, fast receiver. He's a legit guy.
But Gilmore, to me, right now, is the Patriots' best cornerback. He has been for the last couple of months. This isn't just a blip. He's been their best cornerback for the last 2 months.
Yeah, I'd say I feel good about him. I do.
He sucked in that Pittsburgh game, though. He sucked in it.
I feel less good about guys like Pat Chung, Eric Rowe, and Butler. Like, I think, you know, Gilmore's the strength of that secondary right now, don't you think?
It is to me.
Yeah, I feel better about him than I do the other guys.
I mean,
again,
he and McCourty. McCourty, underrated play in the game. 3rd and 8. On the possession after you lose the fumble, 3rd and 8, they run a little 7 yard. You can second guess the pattern there that Hurst ran, but McCourty makes a tackle at 7 yards.
And it was a good tackle.
And they have to punt. And
I mean,
that
he wrapped them.
Huge play.
He did. And that was one of the few times. Like, I just felt like they typically didn't tackle like they do. How many times do you see the Patriots tackle guys short of the sticks? Like, they're great at it. They know exactly where it is. They wrap them up. They get them down. They don't give you the first down. And it felt like yesterday, on a handful of occasions, guys were just getting by him or just getting past there, and it was frustrating to me. And finally, McCourty made that tackle, and he went, well, there you go.
Okay, you feel good or bad about Stephon Gilmore? That's one. How about this guy? Do you feel good or bad about this guy?
Brady drops back with a play fake to Lewis. Stands tall. Throws down the left side for Cooks. It's off his hands, and he can't make the catch. He was open. The throw was on his fingertips, and he could not hold on.
He's fighting it. I mean, I don't know how more to explain these deep issues that he has downfield when you don't hit him between the 1 and 4.
That was right on his hands.
The movie? Is it The Replacements? I'm trying to think of the one guy where he's always open downfield and he's got the white gloves on, and just, it's like, yeah, you got to hit him in the helmet.
I didn't see the movie. What are you talking about? Will you give me the analogy there? I don't get the analogy.
Even Sosi sounded mad on that one.
I don't watch movies. I watch football. What do you mean The Replacements?
Off his hands! Sosi.
But again, that was a good... Play that again.
Brady drops back with a play fake to Lewis. Stands tall. Throws down the left side for Cooks. It's off his hands, and he can't make the catch.
Oh, you're right. Sosi got mad. You know, the little fella got mad.
Oh, yeah. For
Cooks. It's off his hands, and he can't make the catch.
Since when?
Growling Bob.
Yeah, the angry leprechaun.
Since when does he get out? I've never seen him lose his temper.
Off his hands.
It's off his hands, and he can't make the catch.
That's what I sound like when I talk to my children.
Oh, yeah.
Put it down!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Go to bed!
Off his hands!
And he's right to be angry.
How many times do I have to tell you?
Cooks on a linebacker? Dude, you got to make that catch. What are you doing?
I wanted to strangle him.
Okay. Cooks, 6 catches, 100 yards, 2 huge pass interference calls drawn. Do you feel good or bad about Brandon Cooks?
Same.
The same, but it's yesterday's tough because he's so inconsistent. But then again, they don't win that game without him.
I feel so much better. It's not even funny.
I don't.
I saw a couple plays where he's starting to work his way back to the football. He's starting we discussed this with Bedard. So, forgive me for my general stupidity on everything, particularly geometry. But he's starting to run acute angles. He's starting to run back to the ball. It's not just an out. It's not a banana. It's not a right angle. It's cut and back towards the quarterback, which is what Brady wants. He wants you facing him. He wants you working back to the ball. And Cooks hasn't done it all flipping year, it felt like. And then in this game, I saw a couple of those sideline throws where he's actually coming back to the quarterback. I feel like he made progress. I feel better about Brandon Cooks. That even with that drop included, I feel better about him. Like, he's going to be a factor. Yeah, you had nothing yesterday, Maz, and he was a factor in that game. They needed him.
He was, but... Look, I told you, Bouye, I thought, gave him a huge cushion for, respected his speed, but man, that drop Oh, my God, I was ready to lose my mind on that play.
That was six easy points.
That's a big one. That's a big drop. Now, look, they won in spite of it, but if they had lost that game, what play would we be pointing to or among them?
That one, sure.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I saw that one. Oh, my God, would you catch the ball? Catch the ball!
Now you sound like Sosie.
Love it here!
So the Cooks play that I like yesterday, and I wish they did more of it, at the end of the half, right before the White touchdown, they threw him that little in cut where he, you know, came... They couldn't cover it. He's too fast. And he didn't get in the end zone, but he took it down to the 1 yard line. I wish they did that with him more often because I think he can get huge space in the middle of the field if he'll go in there.
I'm still ready to MF him at the drop of a hat, though, because, man, time and again, like, he either comes up short or he drops the ball. It's just something every single week with this guy.
Okay, so again, just other individual guys. I mentioned James Harrison, man. He's
a couple of big plays.
He's a factor at the end there when you know they're throwing and it's pin your ears back. And he was a factor, as much as I hate to admit it. Still don't like the guy, and neither do you. But he was a factor. How much did he play? I'm curious. Because, again, they sucked on the edge in the first half. Is he out there in the first half when they're getting run on the edge, getting thrown on the edge? I mean, he showed up, obviously, in those obvious passing situations at the end of the game. Is he part of the problem when they're up and down the field in the first half? I'm just curious about that.
He played on 43% of the snaps.
He was out there for some of it, that's for sure. But either way, I mean, he had the strip, right? He had the strip at the end. Jacksonville recovered it, but on that, that's what set up the Gilmore play. That's why they were in fourth and forever. It's because he had a strip on the previous, or two plays previous, I believe. So either way, we're continuing to get your reaction to yesterday's 24-20 win in the AFC Championship game. Right back to your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a hypocrite.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
White the single back with Brady up under center. He takes the snap. He play fakes to White. He looks down the middle. He fires, and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England has taken the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. So money on his drive. But the composure of the quarterback down and tight. Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
Two foot. Oh, my
left
God.
Left toe tap in the back of the end zone.
Clutch.
Was there ever a point where you doubted at all whether you could actually play this game, or is it just a matter of how effective you'd be able to be?
Yeah, I wasn't sure on Wednesday. I certainly didn't think. I thought out of all the plays, my season can't end on a handoff. In practice, we didn't come this far to end on a handoff. Just one of those things. Yeah, so I came in the training room and just, you know, was looking at my hand and wasn't quite sure what happened. But you know, everyone did a great job kind of getting me ready, and the training staff and the doctors and Alex, and it was a great team effort. So without that, I definitely wouldn't be.
And honest and open, the whole thing. Like, you know, yeah, I was worried about it there for a few days. You know, I cut it, and I've played through worse, and coach doesn't like us talking when he was on the podium. Coach doesn't like us talking about injuries, but for you guys right now, yep, you know, and he opened up about it. I found that borderline stunning yesterday. So they just, they're never that forthcoming. I still want someone to tell me how it happened. Like, on a handoff. Okay, fine. Where did he catch it? On someone's belt buckle? Like, how did it happen?
Again, my report on Friday, which was
kind of close.
Sort of close.
Yeah, just the number of stitches you were off on. It
so
like.
Apparently he had 10 to 12 stitches. I said 4, but pretty much everything else was right on. No ligament, no tendon, a cut near the knuckle. It was the bottom knuckle, not the top knuckle. And it was right here. It was on the padding. Boy, though, to bend your thumb back to the point where you rip your skin like that. So my report was that he got caught on a buckle, or that was the word when he was being looked at, that it got caught on a buckle. So maybe that was misrepresented to the people treating him or something. I mean, I don't know. But
I mean, there's no way.
How do you cut your hand bending your thumb back? You know, it feels like it's got a catch on something.
Yeah, I don't think
part of the face mask.
I don't think he cut it by it bending. Like, no way. His skin. So what's this? I mean, with the way he hydrates, shouldn't his skin
have
plastic
some, man?
Yeah, his skin should have some pliability, shouldn't it? He had to catch it on something. So I just, and look, just out of curiosity, at the end of the day, who cares? But I would like to know, where did it get caught? He had to hit it on something.
I'm with Maz on this, though. That answer I found as telling and honest as anything he's ever said at the podium. I think he proved right there he was legitimately freaked the F out about that injury, an injury that should have never even happened in the first place.
So I loved Belichick's answer about it, but I don't know if we're getting to that yet.
Sure. I mean, we can play that now. Jimmy, play the whole exchange, Belichick on Brady's hand. You can play that now.
Just your thoughts on Tom Brady, all that went on this week outside of the locker room and that performed the way he did today.
Yeah, well, all that went on outside the locker rooms with all you guys, so I don't know about that. You could tell me all about that. Inside the locker room, everybody prepared for the game. Tom did a great job preparing, and I thought we all competed today and made enough plays to win.
Bill, did anything have to change game plan-wise because of Brady's hand?
Not that I'm aware of, Bob.
Can you just speak to the resourcefulness of Tom dealing with something like that midweek and then coming out and playing a huge game like that?
I mean, look, Tom did a great job, and he's a tough guy. We all know that, all right? But I mean, I'm not talking about open-heart surgery here.
So what do you think that's about? Because I do. I mean, I think I know what that's about.
My guess is that Bill thinks the whole thing was getting a little too much attention, not just from the fact that he...
Does this relate to Brady Belichick, Seth Wickersham, clash of egos, blah, blah, blah?
Yes, on some level, yes.
See, I don't think it does.
I do. I think he looks at it and says, oh, good God, you cut your hand. Like, we're going to make this out to be a big deal now? You played through a million things worse than this. Like, that's how I took it. Put a sock in it already, all right? You cut your hand. We didn't rip you open and take your liver out.
But that relates to Garoppolo, Guerrero, Brady, that whole backstory?
No. I just think it was, more about Brady drawing attention to it and getting credit for something that he didn't necessarily deserve a ton of credit for.
Okay, this is a part of how Belichick handles injuries that I love. I think he's so right about. I think there's stuff with injuries that he's wrong about. Like, I think he thinks it gives the opponent a competitive advantage if you give too much information. And I think he takes that part way too far. I think he's paranoid and nuts about it and does not, it's not as important, nearly as important as he thinks it is. However, there is an element to it that I do think is important, and that is he doesn't want his players using injuries as excuses. So you don't play up injuries. You don't even discuss it. But you certainly aren't allowed to sit there and say, well, I had this, that, or the other, so I couldn't get to the edge. Or I had this, that, or the other, that's why I couldn't put the ball there. Or I had this, that, or the other, that's why I couldn't hold on to the ball. He wants none of that. Either you're cleared to play and you're ready to go and you're responsible for your play, or you're not. You are not allowed to... Injuries are not an excuse. If you're not cleared, you're not cleared and you're not playing. If you're cleared, you're playing and you're expected to make the play. So I don't want to hear about your injuries, which is, again, this is the anti-Celtic point of view. The Boston Celtics, and it'll happen again this year. We will get to the playoffs, and I guarantee you, you will find about Kyrie Irving's ankle, Kyrie Irving's shoulder. You will hear about Al Horford's knee and hip, and you will hear about all these injuries, even though they're playing every night. And when they lose, the green teamers will say, well, what do you want? They're hurt. And when they win, they're warriors. But they give this built-in excuse about the injuries. And Bill hates that. It's a psychological thing. And I think he's so right about it, and it's refreshing. I don't want to hear about your injuries. You're cleared to play. You're playing.
See, but if Brady had a separated shoulder, dislocated shoulder, I could see Belichick saying, well, look, he had to play through some stuff. I'm going to leave it at that. Right? But I think Belichick looked at this one in particular and said, are you guys kidding me with this? He cut his hand. And it was down by the bottom here. It wasn't where he grips the ball. So he was in a little bit of pain. We stitched him up, and he was fine.
Do you feel Brady feels it hurt him?
I think he wants to say that it did.
Yes, he did. He did want to say that it did.
But he stopped himself. And that was that Tiger Woods comment. You know, like, oh, I'm going to sit here and tell you that, I won with my C game. He wanted to.
Okay, well, Jimmy, again, I'm sorry. Give me Brady 3. Give me Brady on his hand number 3. I think he wanted to say that it impacted him. I do.
Or Ben Bowles about your hand?
Yeah.
You can describe what you have on your hand.
Yeah. I'd rather not do anything with my hand, but... I couldn't do, you know, that's kind of what I had to deal with. So I just wrapped it up and tried to cover it up and see if, go out there and play and be effective.
Did it impact you at all?
I'd rather not wear it, but I think it sounds kind of arrogant to say, oh, yeah, it bothered me when we had a pretty good game. So I wouldn't say that.
Tom, can you take us through the 3rd and 18 throw to Danny?
Doesn't that sound arrogant if I said that? It's like when Tiger Woods said, like, that was my C game and he won the tournament.
So he's only not saying it because he doesn't want to sound arrogant. Right. Otherwise, he'd say it.
Yeah, he wanted to. He wanted to say, well, look, you know, you cut your hand and see how you throw. That's what he wanted to say. And honestly, and I'm not just busting Brady's balls here for the sake of busting them. Shut up. You got a cut. They didn't chop your hand off. So, like, if I'm going to sit here and tell you before the game that I think they should be able to win the game in spite of it, and then it turns out to be something roughly close to what we thought. There wasn't a broken bone there. It wasn't on the pad of his thumb where he would grip the ball. It was down closer to the base. All of that, I thought he threw the ball for the most part reasonably well. Like, no issue. You should have been able to win the game with what you had.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.